Hello and welcome to Call of the Outdoors, the podcast of the Pennsylvania Game Commission. You know, we've got a pretty special guest here today, Nick Sechrist from our dispatch area. And, you know, a lot of times when you get behind the walls of the Game Commission, it takes a team to make a lot of things happen. And dispatch handles so many calls on a daily basis to get the right information to the public. When you're looking at this time of year, the springtime, there's a lot of newborn wildlife out there, and those calls seem to ramp up when those little babies start hitting the ground. So Nick's going to come on and talk a lot about that.
For Pennsylvania hunters and conservationists, our roots run deep. The episodes we bring to you on the Pennsylvania Game Commission's podcast, Call of the Outdoors, will take a deep dive into exposing the incredible work being done by agency staff and partners, including statewide habitat projects, the science behind wildlife management, and what drives agency decisions. The Pennsylvania Game Commission's mission is twofold: to manage and protect wildlife and their habitats for not only current but future generations, and to promote hunting and trapping in the Keystone State.
Another thing that happens this time of year in a very short window, the Game Commission uses our prescribed fire program to improve wildlife habitat. You know, if you have any questions, you want to take a look at the prescribed fire program, visit our website at pgc.pa.gov. And also you can sign up to get our prescribed fire notifications on our website. Well, it's another exciting day here at the Call of the Outdoor Studio. Nick, thanks for joining us today. You know, a lot of people don't get to see behind the scenes a lot here at Pennsylvania Game Commission, and, you know, dispatch being new, centralized dispatch, and a whole lot goes on back there. You guys kind of stay in your little cave back there.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Nick, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to, you know, the Game Commission.
Yeah. So I started out of high school, just kind of through my application on the state's website, and got a phone call to interview for a dispatching job with the state police. And 18 years later, I was there, did some instructing for them and stuff. And then the position posted for the Game Commission, and I saw it was a supervisor position. And I thought, you know, this is one way I can fully encompass everything I love. My passion for the outdoors, my passion for law enforcement work, dispatching, things like that. So, July of 2021, I made the jump, came over to the Game Commission, and have loved every minute of it ever since.
I can't believe it's been 3 years. That's crazy how fast time flies. You know, a lot happens back there in dispatch. And, you know, give us a little bit of a background on the Game Commission's dispatch, you know, how we used to do it, how we do it now, and where we're at today.
Yeah, so for many years, it was done from the region offices. We have six regions within the agency, Northwest, Southwest, Northeast, Southeast, and then North Central and South Central. And they had, you know, one, two dispatchers working at a time in the region offices. The decision was made to try and consolidate it, and here we are. And all six regions are now dispatched out of our centralized dispatch center here in Harrisburg. We run anywhere from, depending upon the shifts, 6 to 15 dispatchers. I mean, deer season's all hands on deck.
It's a busy day.
Yeah,
busy.
We have bodies just standing, doing stuff, not even in chairs. It's that, you know, the call volumes and things like that. We started with three regions initially, and then after a year of operation, we took a second region, or the other three regions, into dispatch, and we also went 24/7, 365, and that was a first for the agency.
Yeah, that's awesome, and it's good because that way the folks that need an answer, I mean, there's always someone there. And you know, if it's obviously, it's your job when the call comes in, if it's an emergency, you know, talk about that. Let's say I'm a resident, let's say I'm a hunter, and I have something I need to get a hold of somebody, and I call the toll-free line, and I get a hold of a dispatcher. You know, what should I need to, what as a hunter or as a just a constituent out there that has a wildlife problem, what do I need to know when I call dispatch?
The best thing would be a location. If you can give us a location, that's money right there. Because again, we're dealing with wildlife and the woods and the forests and all that. So a lot of people, I mean, they could be 2 miles in. So the more information they can provide us, the easier it is for us to narrow down where they are. We try to get as much detailed information as we can from all our callers, as far as, you know, what kind of animal are we talking about, what kind of injuries, or, physical features are you seeing of an animal if it's injured? Violations, when people call in violations, we're trying to gather, you know, descriptions of a potential poacher or someone trespassing, vehicle descriptions. I mean, it almost is kind of like the dispatchers are an interrogation.
Sure.
In a sense, but we try to make it more of a friendly interrogation. You know, the old good cop, bad cop. We like to play good cop in dispatch.
You're trying to get all the information you can to help alleviate the issue or you know, I get it. I mean, you know, with today's technology too, you know, location is sometimes just a push of the button and you got the coordinates, you know.
Yep.
And before I misquote this, how many calls in 2023?
2023, we did just right around 210,000 calls.
Wow.
And that was up from 22 about, I think, 40 to 50,000.
And that's really why we're here today, to talk about some issues that are like reoccurring calls that we can try to answer some questions. You can check out our website with the FAQs, and most of it pertains to let wildlife be wild, you know, and you know, each year, this time of year, your volume and even like on social media and just calls into the office and questions has to do with young wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you look at that, you know, everything's being born, you know, in the next few months, white-tailed deer and bears. And I'm sure white-tailed deer are probably number one when, you know, people think that fawns are abandoned.
Yes. Yeah. We get a lot of fawn calls.
If you would just tell, you know, what advice, I call and I say, hey, I have a fawn in my backyard and it doesn't look like anybody's around. What's going on? What should I do?
So we're all about educating the public as well. I mean, we don't want to have to euthanize an animal for just because someone feels it might be abandoned. So if we can ask a certain line of questioning or gather the appropriate information, then we can kind of educate the public on that experience as well. I mean, a lot of times fawns are not abandoned. It's one thing if mom is, you know, the doe is laying on the side of the road, struck by a vehicle, something along those lines, and the fawn is still with it. That's a different story.
Right.
There we have, you know, evidence of it, abandonment or injury, deceased, something like that. When you get into fawns, the mother spends the majority of the time away from the fawn when they're born. They use what they call the hider strategy. So the spots on fawns when they're laying on the ground, tucked into, a lot of times they like to tuck up against houses and people's shrubs, bushes, things like that. The spots, the way the sun reflects off of them, mimics the sun through the canopy of the forest. And it makes them, it kind of camouflages them a little better.
Yeah, they're hard to see. And I'm not, don't quote me on this, but I don't think they have odor for the first.
Correct.
For the first they have, few
there's
weeks
no
or something.
Smell. That's part of the reason the mother stays away, comes back usually twice a day, morning, evening, to nurse, and then goes about and just leaves that fawn in that area. Things we will ask people when they call in about an injured fawn is we'll look for ear conditions, if the ears are curled up, fecal matter on the back end. That's a sign that mom's not coming back and cleaning it. The curled ears can be a sign of dehydration. A lot of people will call in and be like, oh, it's real wobbly. Well, you know.
We were wobbly too when we were born.
Yeah. When we learned to walk, we're wobbly too.
Right.
So we just try to gather, you know, and educate what we can. And if based on the information we receive, we determine, yeah, it does sound like an abandonment issue or something, or maybe the fawn is actually ill or something along those lines, then we'll dispatch a warden out to investigate the incident. Right.
So this let's recap that again. You know, what are the signs that fawn is abandoned again? If you just said it.
Yeah, so the curled ear tips is going to be one.
Because the fawn's not getting
correct.
Nourishment.
It's not getting nursed, the milk, things like that from the mother. So that can be a sign of dehydration. The fecal matter, bugs around the back end of the deer, flies and stuff, that's another sign that mom's not coming back, taking care of the fawn, cleaning it, things along those lines. Are the two biggest
keys to look at. But most of the time when you see a fawn laying there, most of the time, mom's around somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
usually mom's within earshot,
right,
is what we usually tell people. Like, mom's within earshot. you know, and we've had, I've been on the phone multiple times with people where the fawn got up and took off.
Or it's crying.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big one. A lot of people, well, it's been crying all day. Well, you know, let's, we monitor it. And if we need to send a warden out, we will. Yeah. And
I relate it back to our lives. I mean, if we were little and our mom put us in the middle of somewhere and left us, we'd be crying, screaming too. Cause I mean, that's just nature. And that's the most important thing is, and I know your call volume is crazy about not just deer, but all, and let's talk about birds. I mean, that's another thing you probably get lots of calls about, like, you know, fledglings and
yeah,
somebody finds one out of a nest, what should they do?
So when you're looking at birds, the easiest way to tell a lot of times is the fluffiness of the feathers, as we call it. That'll show that it's most likely a juvenile bird. Size, eyes open, things like that are some things we'll look at. A lot of times we tell people if the nest is visible, if you can see a nest right there, just, you know, gently pick up the bird and place it back in the nest. They fall out of the nest a lot, especially as fledglings when they're learning to fly and everything. It's kind of like us learning to walk. We fall flat on our face when we first learn to walk, and no difference for a bird when they're learning to fly. It doesn't go as planned initially sometimes.
I had an adult bird yesterday. The sun came out, you know, and my windows aren't even clean, and I'm standing in the kitchen, and bam, it hits the window. So I run out. And the first thing you think is like it broke its neck. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of watched it and it just knocked itself out about that time, flew off, and it's perfectly fine, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is, like, think about the situation. And like you said, if it's the nest is close, put it back in the nest. When should they call us?
I mean, if they feel if there's visible harm to the bird, a lot of times we get a cat got a hold of it looks mm-hmm. like, or some sort of other wild predator. In that case, then they definitely want to reach out to us, and we can have a warden come out, assess it, and at that point then the warden makes a determination what the next step is. I mean, it's not just baby birds. We get a lot of calls.
I'm sure skunks and squirrels and everything's having babies right
now.
We
call it, you know, it's juvenile animal season. We call it baby animal season in dispatch. We can pretty much watch our call volume as the animals start to make their appearances in the world,
right,
so to speak.
And rabbits. I mean, that's a big one, even in residential. Well, all of it. But
everybody mowing their grass. Right. I found a rabbit's nest. Just with rabbits, they're usually good in about 2 weeks to be on their own. And just, you know, again, let wild be wild. It's one of those things. Everybody thinks they're doing a good deed by picking up the animal, placing it in a box, contacting us, which is fine. A lot of times we can help there. But sometimes, you know, human intervention makes it worse than it really needed to be.
Right. They don't need our help. They really don't. I mean, in a lot of cases, like fur bears, mm-hmm. you know, why do those mothers leave them alone during the day?
So a lot of times with fur bears, the mothers are out foraging for food, especially your den animals, fox, coyote, things like that. They'll be bringing the food back, or foraging. So again, we've had calls where people found a fox den, and the fox, you know, the little ones were outside just kind of doing their thing. And, you know, we've told people, like, mom's probably out foraging for food. Let's, you know, keep an eye on it best we can. Unless they give me some sort of indication that there is something wrong. And again, my dispatchers are all trained to interrogate people in a polite way, so to speak, I guess you would say.
Yeah, you're just trying to get the information. Yeah, and can I, if I just have a question out mm-hmm. there, can I call dispatch? Yeah, I think that's, you know, obviously we have the digest and you can usually find the answer there, our website. But I mean, I don't want everybody to start dialing the phone just to call you for their question. But if it's hard to find the answer, or you're mm-hmm. trying to win a bet or settle an argument, you guys are amazing, because we come to you a lot with our questions, you know, because on social and every place that our bureau hits, you know, sometimes those answers are hard to find, and you guys have probably heard of it already. So let's talk about bears, because obviously those cubs are coming out this time of year, and when a bear incident happens, you know, it obviously makes the news. And let's talk about things that we should do out there, bears. You know, when you look at bears, you know, you gotta use that extra caution this time of year, especially with the cubs around. Mom's mm-hmm. protective. I mean, that's her nature.
Yeah.
And what precautions can you take?
Biggest things that we tell people when educating them on bears is bird feeders. If you can take them down at night and bring them inside somewhere closed where the bear can't get in, doesn't have access to. That usually helps a lot with nuisance bears or bears frequenting an area. Same thing with trash cans, not putting them out curbside 3 or 4 days before, leaving them outside if you have somewhere to secure them. And the quicker you can secure it, a lot of times, because that bear is just simply looking for food, whether it's for itself or for to bring the cubs with as mm-hmm. well. Because not only do you have, you know, your sows out with the cubs, you know, your male bears are out cruising around as well, and they're all looking. They're hungry. They've been sleeping all winter.
Heck yeah.
So if
we'd be hungry too.
Yeah, right. So they, bird feeders, trash cans. We instruct people if you can avoid, like, throwing trash outside, you know, table scraps, things like that. Mm-hmm. Just different things along those lines. If you have a commercial facility with a dumpster, we try to get people, instruct them. If you can secure the lids, things like that. I mean, I've seen pictures of a bear. They're pretty resilient when it comes to getting that food. So
they're pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen some pictures and videos of dumpsters on their side and the bear comes popping up out. So, right.
So if let's say you do have a nuisance bear mm-hmm. that's, you know, causing problems. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So if you're having issues with a bear, nuisance bear, and you've tried, you know, you've taken the bird feeders down, or you don't even have bird feeders, it's just this bear is attracted to your area. You can give a call into dispatch. We'll put it in. We track the bear sightings, bear nuisance, damage to, you know, property, things like that, because you'll have bears that will tear down like a trash can enclosure. A lot of folks will do that. So different stuff like that. If they call into dispatch, we'll gather the information and we'll put the code in the CAD event for what the correct incident would be, and then we'll dispatch the district warden out to their residence or business or whatever.
Take a look at it and see if they can help.
Yeah, take a look, and we'll relocate if possible. If we, you know, the warden determines that a trap would need to be set and the bear should be moved to a less populated area.
I mean, all wild animals can adapt. I mean, mm-hmm. Like us. I mean, we adapt every day to different, yeah. and animals are no different. And mm-hmm. There is an organization, you know, if you want to learn more on how to mm-hmm. be safe around bears, it's bearwise.org.
Yeah.
And it keeps you, you know, gives you all kinds of tips, you know, because we have bears everywhere nowadays. Yeah. I mean, I know a couple years ago we had one downtown Harrisburg, and they get mm-hmm. them in Philadelphia sometimes. And, I mean, they're just living out there. They're being wild, and we got to let wildlife be wild. But there are things you can do, like some of the tips that you gave earlier mm-hmm. to be safe out there.
Yeah, I mean, use caution in, you know, if you're taking your dog out in the evening, kids are outside playing, just, you know, be aware, be alert of what your surroundings, especially if you're in a heavy populated bear area.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping an eye on things, and, you know, if you see signs but you haven't seen a bear, you know, like neighbor has a bear on the porch on a Ring camera or something like that. We get a lot of the, like, hey, my neighbor has this bear on the Ring camera. I haven't seen the bear yet, but it's coming in every night at such and such a time. You know, we'll try to reach out to the neighbor, get some direct information from them. And
it's amazing that, you know, we've been living with bears our, you know, whole lives here. And you know, I follow a group on social media that's the county that I live in. And mm-hmm. it's like a talk group. And as soon as somebody sees a bear, it's like big headlines. And it's like, they've been living here all year. It just happened to catch a glimpse of it. But
yeah, social media blows up when there's a bear sighting, especially in certain areas.
Yeah.
When you get into the more heavily populated areas, like I remember several years ago, I live in Lebanon County. When there was a bear in Lebanon, ran through Lebanon City, it was a big to do. And, you know, because that's not something you see every day.
Makes headlines.
Yeah.
So let's say we want to get a hold of dispatch. Mm-hmm. What's the easiest way for us to get a hold of dispatch?
Easiest way is to give us a call on the toll-free numbers, the PGC Wild or PGC Hunt 833. Give us a call on those. You'll get a dispatcher, and they'll gather your information, and or they'll provide you information. We do a lot of, like I said, educating and self-help, and we shift gears a lot because we're dispatching the wardens too. So, I mean, 1 minute we go from taking an incident of, I found these juvenile bunnies in my yard. I have them in a box. What do I do? To the wardens responding to a high priority, high stress violation in progress or something. So
that's it. I mean, we're only talking about one little part of what happens back there. And it's just, you know, what our goal is, we're going to, you know, work together in our bureaus to get those FAQs
mm-hmm.
that come into dispatch and start really talking about them out there, you know, especially the young wildlife and, mm-hmm. and because this time of year, like you said, your call volume goes up, and you know, everybody has questions. A lot of these questions too are answered at our website at pgc.pa.gov. We have FAQs and all this information is out there. Sometimes you got to dig a little deeper to get to it, but you know, if you sometimes instead of just picking up the phone, if you just look at our website, you can find a lot of these.
Wildlife Notes is a good one on our website. Yep. Like you said earlier, the Bear Wise is another good resource. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can find out there on, you know, just general Google searches.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times it'll lead to our website with the information.
That's our goal. I mean, that's our goal in our bureau is to try to make those at the, you know, get to the top of the page, and because that's who we are. We're the state wildlife agency. It's not just deer, turkeys, bears, and grouse. I mean, it's every little songbird that's out there that we're responsible for. Yes, and sir. You know, a lot of folks forget that sometimes, but that's definitely the case. So we talked about like a lot of the serious stuff. Let's talk about not serious stuff. Let's get behind the scenes a little bit of dispatch. Talk about some calls that you get that are like, wow, where's this coming from? No, I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, I mean, we get it all. Like I said earlier, we can go from dealing with the baby rabbit in a box to some sort of high-stress incident to dealing with,
you know, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. We have had Bigfoot
sightings. I actually heard a Bigfoot call one time, and it was pretty amazing that I'd love to play on the air, but we can't be a state agency. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure you get... mountain lions?
Yes, we get mountain lion sightings. We try to stress people if they get a picture, send the picture in. We forward that on to the biologists, and they'll actually...
Yeah, we've had a couple investigations this year that, you know, turned out to be house cats.
They have the cutouts. House cat, large bobcat, a lot of times is what it turns out to be.
Did anybody ever call irate?
We get some irate callers. Sure. A lot of times, you know, sometimes people just want to be heard, and in that case, you just let them vent.
Well, it's easier, you know. My grandma's saying it's a lot easier to fix things with sugar than salt, you know. And that's one thing, you know. Your folks and you're in dispatch. I mean, you don't have to call yelling. There's always a solution, or we can get down the road. Let's work together, especially as sportsmen. We have to work together every day. I mean, when you look at we even look on Facebook and things like that. I'm going a little bit off tangent right now, but the more we can work together, the more we ensure that hunting and conservation is going to, you know, lead into the future when we're gone. And obviously, like yourself, you know, you were at state police for 18 years and you're over here at the game commission because you're a conservationist and you love hunting.
I mean, I should be four in August. My daughter and my wife, they're both into it. My daughter's been blowing a duck call since she was like 6 months old.
I know it. That's awesome. And that's close to my heart because calling game is like, I mean, that's to me, there's no better setting out there, whether you're in a duck blind or against a big old oak talking to something out there. It's pretty amazing. And I commend you and your wife for getting your daughter started young, which you have, obviously.
Tried.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. But anything else that you'd like to talk to folks about when it comes to questions that, you might get on a daily basis? And, you know, we definitely need to keep this an annual thing and keep those, you know, we want to try to keep those call volumes and answer those questions outside of making a phone call, if at all possible. But anything else that comes to the top of your mind?
Yeah, I mean, we train all the dispatchers in customer service, active listening skills, as well as like law enforcement specific training. We have our emergency wildlife operations and communication. We call it EWOC. A lot of people are like, oh, from Star Wars. I'm like, no, it's spelled a little different. We have our stress judgment response training that we do for the dispatchers that kind of puts them in the hot seat. And that equips them to handle the higher stress incidents. And it's kind of a breath of fresh air a lot of times when they get the, can you tell me when doe license go on sale?
Right.
Or can you, I have this, you know, bird in my yard and I believe it flew into my window and it's breathing and everything. A lot of times, like you just experience, they just get themselves knocked silly and they're good to go.
Right. Last year was a big day because it was a first for us with antlerless. I call it doe license too, but you know, when hunting license went on sale to be available over the counter, there's going to be a lot of information coming from now until June when hunting license go on sale that we're going to try to get out in front of all of that. So try to answer all those questions to the public. I mean, we're all excited about it. I mean, it's, you know, hunting license go on sale, but you know, there's some big news coming. So I'd tell anybody that's tuning in to Call the Outdoors to just stay tuned you're not going to go without seeing it. I mean, we're on every platform, you know, short of sending carrier pigeons to your house, yeah. We should have it covered with the information.
You might want to do that. Might work.
Yeah. You're coming. My dad's a pigeon guy, so and so Scotty back here. He's, you know, these guys are into it. We don't have enough pigeons because we're so lucky in this state to have over 800,000 folks that buy a hunt license. I mean, that, to me, I'm proud of that because that's our heritage. That's where we come from, and and not all states can say that. You know, when you look at hunting license sales, and I'm again going off tangent, we're one of only six states that is actually on a little bit of an increase since 2018, and that's big news because as we look across the country and license sales are dropping, we've kind of stayed the path and actually have a little slight increase going into this year's hunting license sales. So that's something we can be proud of, that heritage that we have and the opportunities that we have out there and the opportunities we have to help the public, like centralized dispatch. I mean, there's a bunch of you back there that are 24/7, 365. It takes a team to make that happen.
Yeah, we're like a big family back there. Well-oiled machine. We do everything we can to make it leave a positive impact. And I mean, sometimes the bad part of the job is, you know, we do have to euthanize an animal, or you know, rehab won't take it because of it being a rabies vector species or something along those lines, and none of us are there to take, you know, I guess glorify the fact that we're gonna have to put this animal down. We're there to get the information. We don't want to see the animal suffer.
They're wild either. I mean, so, that's the danger of habituation, and you know, even like when you see, you know, for myself, like when trail cameras started and where they've evolved to today, people get so attached to, you know, that's my deer or my turkeys out there. And I mean, wildlife belongs to everybody. They don't know property lines and all that stuff. It's owned by the public. And it is easy to get attached, especially to if you like big old bucks or whatever, it's easy to get attached to those animals. And when you see a baby deer, they're cute as it can get, or a baby rabbit. We get that part of it, but got to remember they're wild, and we got to let wildlife be wild.
Yeah, it's tough because sometimes it's hard to tell somebody that's very passionate about that animal. Like sometimes nature has to run its course. I mean, nature's vicious.
It is. It's a crazy life out there for them. They got to survive every day of their life. You know, let's just talk about the warden side of it real quick. And you know, we have over 200 full-time game wardens out there, and there's a lot going on in their life. I mean, we talked about some of this stuff that they have to do and deal with wildlife, but there's also, you know, the other side of the coin when people aren't obeying the rules and how that works in dispatch as well. I mean, if you see something going wrong, I mean, definitely get on that toll-free number.
And like you said, and I said, we're there 24/7 now, 365, which kind of gives us hopefully a leg up compared to, you know, years ago when we didn't have the manpower or the technology or capabilities to fully function the way we do now with all the technology and stuff. The more information, the quicker you get it to us, the better chance we have at catching somebody if they're doing something,
right?
You know, whether that be poaching, trespassing, violations on the game lands are a big one.
Or dangerous situations.
Yeah, dangerous, hunting while intoxicated, things like that. Again, like we run the gauntlet every day with the types of calls. I mean, one of my personal favorites, like you said earlier, is you're trying to win a bet. We can usually guarantee Friday before deer season opens that we're going to get a call from somebody. Like, we're all sitting around a camp and we're trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong, and they'll run a game law by us, and we'll be like, well. And those are my favorite because, like, man, you know, the guy that lost, like, all right, you know. So that makes it, you know, there's reward in it as well because you have those moments of levity in a job where sometimes we're going from one phone call to another. I mean, our highest day was over 1,900 calls. And
so not when you walk back in dispatch and they have it under lock and key, we're not allowed back there. You know, it's like secret ops back there. But it's dark and there's screens. And I mean, we go back there and it's like, holy cow. It's like, you know, like walked into NASA a little bit, but you know, is that just the world that dispatchers live in, or?
Yeah. I mean, that's the world I've lived in my whole career. We actually joke with our director that it's not dark enough because the lights don't go completely off. That's pretty much everybody that has come from another dispatch agency into Central is, if we ever get a new facility or we expand or anything like that, we're going to need to have the lights that go off completely. Like, we don't need emergency lighting.
If I'd be back there, I'd be asleep in two, like in an hour. Yeah, I'd well, be like,
that's the argument to keep the lights on, but.
I got you.
Well, Nick, creatures of habit.
That's right. Nick, thank you so much for coming and helping us today. There's, you know, the positive side of right now is turkey season's only about a little over a month away. If I can get excited about things, daylight hours are getting longer. Turkeys are gobbling. And I know you're a big turkey hunter as well.
Yeah.
But again, just if folks need to get a hold of us for something, shoot the numbers out one more time, if you will.
It's 833-PGC-HUNT and 833-PGC-WILD. Those are the main numbers that'll get you into dispatch, and we'll be happy to help you.
On one side of it, if you see something, say something.
Yeah, we also have OGT, Operation yep. Game Thief is another resource. That's completely anonymous. We don't even have a way to track the IP address. We like when people leave a phone number or an email address that we can at least have some conversation with, so we can try to gather more information for the district warden that would be investigating that Operation Game Thief. But if they want to be completely anonymous, they can be completely anonymous. We have no way to track it, email, phone number, anything like that.
You hear geese outside. It's supposed to be soundproof, but I can hear some.
I just heard geese.
Geese flying over. So, you know, again, like you said, OGT, you know, if you see something, say something. And, you know, on the wildlife side of the things, you know, if you take a second, check out our website, pgc.pa.gov. You know, and if you can't get an answer, give us a shout, and we're going to help you out.
We're happy to answer any questions.
Well, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.